Calm down. This is News Talk.
You're very welcome along. Tom Dunn with you until midnight. And on tonight's show, I'll be talking to a man who literally changed music history. In the Shower with Anais Mitchell. Not nearly as interesting as that sounds. Album of the Week from Villagers. And wait till you hear the new single from Langham. Oh my God, indeed. Their version, The Rocky Road to Dublin. New album to come. The absolutely unmistakable sound of Langham, and that is their brand new single, which is their version of a really old song called Rocky Road to Dublin. I was there at the Vicar Street gig when they were recording it. They recorded three nights in Vicar Street, and that's going to be a brand new love live album from them coming out very soon. But at the night when they were introducing it, they said this song kind of has a bit of odd associations sometimes, and then they launched into it, and I thought it was absolutely amazing. So I've been kind of wondering about the odd associations really since then, and well, it has an awful lot of associations, and they're really fascinating ones is what I would say. It was written in 1862 by a man called D.K. Gavin, who is known as the Galway poet, but it was written for this English gentleman called Harry Clifton. I'll get to Harry Clifton in a minute because his life is really fascinating. Thereafter, it became really part of the Irish canon, a huge part of which was what it was included in James Joyce's Ulysses. Mr. Deasy partially recites a little bit of it. And thereafter, the Clancy Brothers covered it in 64, the Dubliners in 64 as well. Luke Kelly did it in 73. I might play that for you in a second because it's featured in Sherlock Holmes in 2009. It's very short, it's only 2 minutes, and it's Luke's vocal, which is just spectacular. We'll see. The Rolling Stones and the Chieftains did it. And if you hear that, the Rolling Stones literally played the riff from Satisfaction during, as much to say, like, we're the Rolling Stones. Matt Christie Moore, Johnny Logan, David Dempsey, Fecal O'Brien on, and many more as well. But let's take a blast of Luke's version. It's much shorter, more to the point, you might say.
Well, in the merry months of May.
I won't lie, it was my intention going into that to fade it after a few minutes. So I was really just playing it as an example of another version of the song, that version which featured in the Sherlock Holmes movie 2009. But once I heard Luke Kelly singing, I'm afraid that was the end of that. And listening to the Dubliners there, I couldn't help but think, it's a bloody super group, isn't it? More on them a little bit later on. But to carry on with the story of the song, the Chieftains and the Rolling Stones do a version of it in 19... Now, I could play that for you, but there's... I want to carry on and tell you other things. But there's a moment in it where literally the Chieftains are playing Rocky Road to Dublin, and you can hear the Rolling Stones playing a little riff of Satisfaction in the background. I jest not. Since then, Christy Moore, Johnny Logan, Damien Dempsey, Fecal O'Brien, and many others have performed it. But where I really found this becoming an interesting little road to go down, well, I took a look at the guy who sang it and made it famous, Harry Clifton, back in 1862. Can you believe it? So Harry Clifton turns out to be quite famous in England for one particular song, and it's called Pretty Polly Perkins of Paddington Green. Now, I know you're thinking, what are you on about, Tom? But this is fascinating, right? He was very famous. He was known as Handsome Harry around the UK, and he was described as having the best comic songs of the day. And when he died, they said that working boys left, right and centre were whistling his songs. So Paul McCartney always said, the test of a good song is if the milkman whistles it. So they were whistling Harry Clifton's songs back in the day, and they were whistling Pretty Polly Perkins of Paddington Green. Now, I can tell by the way you're looking at me that you'd like to hear a tiny little snippet of Pretty Polly Perkins. Sounds like something you'd say when you're trying to kind of work out different things to do with relaxing your voice or something. But I found this man doing a little quick version of a Pretty Polly Perkins of Paddington Green.
She was beautiful as a butterfly and proud as a queen.
Something inside me tells me you've heard enough of that. So I don't even know his name, to be completely honest, but that's him, a man over in England, doing a version of this big hit, Pretty Polly Perkins of Paddington Green. Now, as you listen to that, you may think the melody of that sounds familiar. It's been used a million times. It becomes the melody of a song called Cushy Butterfield, right? And Cushy Butterfield is heard to this day on the terraces of Newcastle United Football Club. And in fact, at a dinner that Alan Shearer was giving, he sang a bit of it, changing the words to have a go at Roy Keane. So that song is alive and well and in the world. But the lyrics for Cushy Butterfield were written by another man called Georgie Ridley, and he couldn't be more of a Geordie if he got up in the night and you know, put on the Newcastle away strip. He is a dyed-in-the-wool Geordie. And he took the melody of Pretty Polly Perkins of Paddington Green, and he put the lyrics of Cushy Butterfield over it, which, as I say, is sung to this day on the terraces at Newcastle United. So should you be in Newcastle United, now you know where that song came from. But even his story is still, there are so many other angles to it also that I need to tell you. His name, wrote it, Georgie Ridley, at the age of 8, so 1862 is when he was having that. Age of 8, he was already working transporting coal with the women, so a child heading along with the women at the local coal mine. Soon after that, he was a full-on miner, and he was a miner for 10 years until a serious accident left him unfit for work. And then, unfit for work, he turned to music, and that's when he wrote that song, Cushy Butterfield, and he wrote Blanton Races, which is also regarded as one of the songs that you absolutely have to hear when you're in Newcastle. But here's what it did. Do you want another little twist in the tale? Do you think you would know any of the music from his great-great-nephew? Could his great-great-nephew, for instance, actually be singing with this band? Well, I think you know the answer, don't you? Sounds good on the radio to this day, which is a tribute to the quality of the song and the recording. House of the Rising Sun from The Animals. So let's just try and get this right now if we can. The man singing there is Eric Burton, and he is the great, great nephew of Georgie Ridley, who is the man who wrote Cushy Butterfield, which is sung on the terraces at Newcastle United to this day and is the second most popular song on those terraces. And it is a piece of music or a lyric set to the melody of Pretty Polly Perkins of Paddington Green, which was the hit in the day of Harry Clifton, who is the man who had the original hit with Rocky Road to Dublin, which is why Lancum are a very important band. Hopefully that made sense to you. Right, we're not finished yet, my friends. We have to take a look at one of my favourite tracks of the year is from Anais Mitchell, and she is with a kind of, I think I'd call them a supergroup. I called the Dubliners a supergroup a moment ago. I would certainly call the Bonnie Light Horsemen a supergroup, and a little bit of their background is just absolutely fascinating. Some of the bands they've been in, some of the tracks they've written, all of that is on the way after a very Never Look Back. So that is When I Was Younger from Bonnie Light Horseman, which I've been playing for you a lot because I'm really fascinated by it, mainly by the vocal of Anais Mitchell, which I just think is off the clock. But it is a supergroup, and everyone who talks about them describes them as a supergroup. They are Anais Mitchell, Eric D. Johnson, and Josh Kaufman together. They've all been in different bands. Eric D. Johnson was in The Shins and The Fruit Bats, and Josh Kaufman has worked at The National, and Josh Ritter, and other people as well. The idea that they become a band was suggested to them by Justin Vernon of Bon Iver and Aaron Desner from The National. And that idea of suggesting other people form bands is not that unusual. Mama Cass from The Mamas and the Papas, it was her suggestions put together, but The Loving Spoonful and Crosby, Stills and Nash. So there you go, there is form with these things. So they've done two albums. New album about to come out, though, I think is going to be an absolute game changer. But who are they, you ask? Well, Eric D. Johnson, initially in a band called the Fruit Bats, who were on Sub Pop Records, which is the label that gave us Nirvana. He was also a teacher, guitar teacher in Chicago's Old Town School of Folk Music. But then he went for a while in The Shins. He was 4 years in The Shins, and he described that as an absolute game changer. So he came back from that a changed man. And it's since then that a lot of what he's touched has become much more commercially successful. It's not a bad thing. But his time in The Shins was spectacular. He was involved in the album Wincing the Night Away and in tracks like this, the absolutely brilliant Phantom Limb. So that is The Shins and Phantom Limb, and the involvement there in our supergroup, the Bright Bonnie Light Horseman, is Eric D. Johnson, who was in The Shins for 4 years. The other part of this little supergroup is Josh Kaufman. Now, he's a multi-instrumentalist, and you may know him from Josh Ritter. He did stuff with him. We love Josh Ritter on this show. He was also the musical director on the Grateful Dead tribute with Bob Weir, which had people like Wilco and Warren Drugs and Jenny Lewis and people like that. He's produced Craig Finn from The Whole Steady, of whom we are also hugely popular and fond of, and it'd be remiss of me not to mention that he has also worked with Taylor Swift. There we go. Sometimes it seems like who hasn't? But he has also produced one of my favourite albums of the last few years, and it is for the wonderful Kate Stables and her This Is The Kit incarnation. He produced Off Off On, which had this brilliant single on it. So that is This Is The Kit, produced by Josh Kaufman from the Bonnie Light Horseman, and that is coming to get you nowhere. Had them in session once at the show, and it was one of the most interesting sessions I was ever involved with. And one of them was using a £10 note folded over on itself as a kind of percussion instrument. And it was really effective right up close to the mic, and I remember it to this day. So the final piece of this supergroup is obviously A.S. Mitchell, who I think is one of the most talented people on the planet, describing the New York Times as a formidable songwriting talent, and I absolutely would agree with that 100%. She is named after A.S. Mitchell. A.S. Mitchell, she of the writer of erotic fiction type stuff, born a Quaker. I wouldn't have thought that was kind of, you know, going to line up with a career in music. But she was writing songs at the age of 17. She won the New Folk Award at the age of only 22. But the really interesting thing about her is at the age of about 25, she wrote her first musical, a folk opera called Hadestown or Hadestown. And she's been working on that more or less ever since. So even though she did albums in 2010 and 2012 and stuff, she got a new version of Hadestown going in 2016, the expanded version that went to the New York Theatre Workshop. It moved to Canada in 2017, it moved to London in 2018, and it went on Broadway in 2019. It is now huge. I mentioned we were over in London for a short break, and it is now probably one of the biggest shows in London. And I think coming from that kind of indie music background, it gives hope to indie musicians all over the country, I think. One of those indie musicians that she has worked with is our very own Mick Flannery, and he wrote this song with her. And their version together, Mick Flannery and A.S. Mitchell together, Minnesota. This is nice at 3 minutes and 46 seconds. You're going to hear all day.
Minnesota, when I was your daughter.
Mick Flannery and A.S. Mitchell together and Minnesota. And I kind of started the show by saying we will be in the shower with A.S. Mitchell. That was deliberately provocative to draw you in. I won't lie. But there is a bit of basis to it. And there is music that she would listen to when she is in the shower. And when you hear some of that music, you will be absolutely stunned. I don't want to give too much away before we go to the ad break, but it will involve one of our country's living music legends. Who could it be? Find out after a very swift break. Text. So I mentioned A.S. Mitchell and what she listens to in the shower. It was part of a Q&A she did with a magazine, and she's talking about what she's currently grooving to, which is Kacey Musgraves' Deeper Well. She actually got me to go back to that, and it's spectacular. Joni Mitchell's Hey Jira, she's absolutely mad about as well. Nirvana's Nevermind. Whitney Houston's The Bodyguard original soundtrack. That's an odd kind of choice. But it was the music in the shower that most caught my attention. Some beautiful stuff. Steve Winwood, Robin's Body Talk, John Martin, but the one above all else that she listens to is our own Mr. Paul Brady. How fantastic is that? I found a live version of The Island, and this is it.
Living for the Corporation and the Island, accompanied on piano by Graham Henderson.
O'Brady and a live version of The Island, and called their names by Anais Mitchell as an artist she would listen to in the shower. That feature of what people listen to on a Sunday morning and in the shower, it's in Mojo magazine. And one of the people they interviewed alongside Anais Mitchell was Russell Crowe, who's coming to play here very soon. His indoor party tour is coming to both the UK and Ireland. He says when he's in the shower, he sings the Confrontation duet from Les Mis. Now, just a few technical points here. How can you possibly sing a duet on your own unless you're not on your own in the shower, Russell, which I think we should draw a discreet veil over as quickly as we humanly can. Our album of the week comes from The Villagers. It is out as we speak. I'd say it's a strong contender for an Irish number one over the weekend, and we certainly hope it will be. But I think it's their sixth album, and Conor O'Brien just goes from strength to strength. His lyrics, particularly his voice, his melody, what a gifted...